Blog Talk Radio.
I come on my knees to lay down before you, bringing all that I am, longing only to know you, seeking your face, and not only your hand, I find you embracing me just as and I lift these songs to you and you alone. As I sing to you in my praises, make your home to my audience of one. You are Father and you are Son. As your spirit flows free, let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more has become my great reward. To see your kingdom come and your will be done, I only desire to be could I bring to honor your majesty? What song could I sing that would move the heart of royalty? When all that I have is this life that you've given me, so Lord, let me live for you, my song with humility. And Lord, as the love song of my life is faith, I have one desire to bring glory to your name, to my your spirit flows free. Let it find within me a heart that beats to praise you. And now just to know you more has become my great reward. To see your kingdom come and your will be done, I only desire to be yours, Lord.
tried so hard to be the best that I could be. It's like every time I take one step, something's right in front of me. Lord, where would I be without your grace and mercy? Oh, now I have one question. Lord, why? I'll never know. My life was heading out of control. Somehow I shifted into overload. But then you came and did a work in me. Out of everything I once was, somehow you saw a masterpiece.
God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for another opportunity, God, to sit before your people to tell them what thus says the Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would get the glory out of what goes forth on tonight, God. Have your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Prolific Fire, everybody. I am your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing unto you. Let's jump right into it for tonight. The foundational text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. That's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 2 through 7 from the NIV. It reads as following. Elkanah had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Pinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. The NLT of that seventh verse, that last verse for tonight, reads as following. It says, year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. From that last verse of tonight's foundational text, verse 7, we see that Peninnah provoked Hannah, which was nothing new. It wasn't. She did it often. But in the last verse for tonight, she was especially cruel. She got downright hard on her until she cried, until she would not eat. But what I want you to pay close attention to is the timing and the location from which Peninnah verbally attacked Hannah, because as I said, it was nothing new. But tonight I want you to pay close attention to its timing, to the timing and the location from which Peninnah verbally attacked Hannah every year like clockwork. You can count on it because it was going to happen. Your Bible says, year after year, whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, that's when Peninnah provoked her the hardest until she was in tears and wouldn't eat. Number one, when did it occur? Whenever Hannah went to the house of the Lord year after year, it was the same old thing. So that's when it occurred, whenever she would go up to the house of the Lord. Number two, where did it occur? It occurred in the house of the Lord. Peninnah would provoke Hannah right there in the house of the Lord until she was reduced to tears, until she wept and wouldn't eat. Have you ever thought the devil knows just when to show up? I'm quite sure we've all had that thought. Have you ever thought the devil knows when to show up? It seems like he always shows up in the midst of me trying to do something for God or in the midst of things of God. It seems he always shows up in the midst of me trying to do something for God or in the midst of other things of God. So, just maybe you're right. Just maybe you're right about the devil and his demonic timing, tonight's message. First, let's look at what it says in the book of Job. This is Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 from the NLT, the New Living Translation. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. He was right there with them. He came along with them. The devil, Satan, was right there in the midst of a meeting between God and the angels. Think about that. The devil, Satan, was right there in the midst of a meeting between God and the angels. He was tagging along. He was right there. Notice also what the Bible doesn't say. I want you to notice also what the Bible doesn't say, though. The Bible doesn't say he was late to the meeting or that he showed up afterwards, which means he was on time. Also, it's implying that the devil does indeed time it. Also, it implies that the devil does indeed know timing. When God asked the devil even admitted. When God asked, the devil even admitted that he had been nosing around, patrolling the earth, watching everything going on. When God asked, he admitted that he had been nosing around, patrolling the earth, watching everything going on. Job 1 and 7, New Living Translation. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. And just so you know, that scripture was included in the Bible for you. How do I know it was for you? Because you need to be familiar with the way the devil operates. And this verse clearly shows the way that the devil operates. Look at the wording of the text from the NLT. The wording. See, when you read the Bible, you got to check out the wording and really pay attention. So let's check out the wording of the text from the NLT. He patrols the earth. He's patrolling the earth. Patrolling is a military tactic. Small groups or individual units are deployed for a large formation to achieve a specific objective and then return. Patrol. Patrol means to keep watch over an area by regularly walking or traveling around or through it. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, he is very territorial. He is very territorial. The devil is very territorial. That's why he's watching everything going on. He think he's slick. He's watching everything that's going on to see who or what he can take over. He's watching everything that's going on to see who or what he can take over. Devour, as it says in 1 Peter 5 and 8. So you shouldn't be surprised when he shows up among you and me. So you shouldn't be surprised when he shows up among you and me, the body of Christ. After all, think about this. After all, he used to be an angel, just a little lower in creation than us. After all, he used to be an angel, just a little lower in creation than you and me, until he rebelled against God. He used to be an angel, just a little lower in creation than you and me, until he rebelled against God. And his rebellion got him kicked out of heaven. Somebody, that rebellious spirit on you is what's keeping you from where you need to be. Somebody, that rebellious spirit on you is what's keeping you from where you need to be. Listen to what the Bible had to say about the devil, about Satan, prior to his fall. Listen to what the Bible has to say about the devil, about Satan, prior to his fall. Ezekiel 28, verse 15 from the NLT. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. I'm going to read that again. Blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. Also in the Bible it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroy the nations of the world. That's Isaiah 14 and 12, NLT, New Living Translation. You were blameless, past tense. Notice that's past tense. You were blameless, past tense, in all you did. Not anymore. Somebody said not anymore. Until the day evil was found in you. You were blameless, past tense, in all you did until the day evil was found in you. When evil shows up in a person, everything changes. When evil shows up in a person, everything changes. Maybe they were an angel before, but now evil has impacted their very nature, followed by a host of demonic activity. followed by a host of demonic activity. Demonic is a word used to describe the behavior of people who are extremely evil or cruel. Demonic is a word used to describe the behavior of people extremely evil or cruel. And let's face it, what Peninnah did to Hannah in tonight's foundational text was demonic. It was evil. It was just downright cruel. The way she provoked Hannah relentlessly at a time of sacrifice, at a time that was supposed to be. Check this out. She provoked her at a time that was supposed to be set aside for the Lord. It was evil. It was cruel. It was demonic in timing. The way the devil came upon Peninnah and used her to make Hannah cry, to cause her to lose her appetite and not want to eat. It was demonic. God would have never provoked Hannah or anyone else like that. God would have never provoked Hannah or anyone else like that until she cried, until she wouldn't eat. Nor would anyone else claiming to be a real Christian do such a thing. Nor would anyone else claiming to be a real Christian do such a thing. But I know many of you have had some very abusive things happen to you right there in the church. We being real on tonight. We keep it real on Prolific Fire. But I know many of you have had some very abusive things happen to you right there in the church. And for that, beloved, I'm sorry. It was an abuse of power. I'm going to call it what it was. It was an abuse of power. No leader, no Christian, hear me, no leader, no Christian should behave in a manner that degrades another person. No leader, no Christian should behave in a manner that degrades another person, physically, mentally, or emotionally. It was abuse. It was abuse, but it was not God. It was abuse, but it was not God, in spite of the title attached to their name. You see, some people have attached themselves to the work of God. You see, some people have attached themselves to the works of God. God didn't do it. They attached themselves to the works of God. But the real presence, the real power of God is not in them. But the real presence, the real power of God is not in them. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, you don't have to be afraid of them, because the real presence, the real power of God is not in them. So you don't have to be afraid of them. And so they need to be detached. And so they need to be detached physically from the body of Christ, because spiritually they are already backslidden, far away from him in character. They're already detached. They're already backslidden, far away from him in character. They're just operating out of their flesh. They're already backslid, far away from him in character. Remember this. God never makes a person do more harm than good. God never makes a person do more harm than good. So if they're doing more harm than good, but yet confessing the name of Jesus, it's demonic. Remember what we're talking about tonight, demonic timing. It's demonic. It's done with evil intent. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. That's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 from the New King James. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. That's how the character, that's how the nature of God conducts itself when displayed in a real Christian. That's how the character, that's how the nature of God conducts itself when displayed in a real Christian. So if you had someone show up, and relentlessly start grilling you the minute you showed up at the church, the way Peninnah did Hannah, That was the devil and his demonic timing. That was the devil and his demonic timing, trying to discourage you, stop you from serving God, trying to stop you from being active in the things of God. Remember, I told you that's his timing. He likes to show up when you're serious about God, when you're trying to do something for God, when you're getting involved in the things of God. He shows up at other times, but in the text tonight, that's especially when he showed up. And many of us can relate to him showing up in our lives at times when we're trying to do what God said do. But he's a liar. And his attack will not win us over. We will still do what God wants us to do. So if you can't relate to somebody grilling you the minute you showed up at church the way Panana did Hannah, that was the devil being demonic, displaying his demonic timing, trying to discourage you. But as I said, maybe that's not you. I'm coming to get you, though. Ultimately, the devil wants you kicked out of position. Ultimately, the devil wants you kicked out of position with God, the way he got kicked out of heaven. He wants to see you fall. And in order for that to happen, he wants to see you fall. And in order for that to happen, he tries to plant little insignificant things in your head that he hopes will make you be rebellious towards God. The devil wants to see you get kicked out of position with God the way he got kicked out of heaven. He wants to see you fall in order to make that happen. He tries to plant little insignificant things in your head that he hopes will make you rebellious towards God. Somebody, I told you I was coming for you. Now, maybe you can't relate to the devil showing up at the church, grilling you, provoking you. But I know you can relate to what I'm about to say. How about the minute you made your decision to do right by God? How about the minute you made the decision to do right by God and to work as though you are working for the Lord and not a boss on that job? And to work as though you're working for the Lord and not a boss on that job, as it says in Colossians 3:23. Here comes the devil in the form of a boss, in the form of a shift leader, a manager, a co-worker, etc., stirring up drama. Just something to provoke you the way Panana provoked Hannah. Just something to provoke you, to break your focus. Demonic timing. You see how it works? Just when you told the Lord you were going to do that job as though it was unto him. Still in all things, we have been called to be imitators of Christ. Still in all things, we have been called to be imitators of Christ. So how did Jesus handle it? So how did Jesus handle it when the devil showed up and used Peter to openly come against him? So how did Jesus handle it when the devil showed up and used Peter to openly come against him? This happened. Check out the timing of when it happened to Jesus. This happened just after Jesus had predicted his own death. This happened just after Jesus had predicted his own death. Talk about the money timing. Let's see what happened. This is Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 33. This is Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 33 from the NIV. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So the devil showed up and used Peter. So the devil showed up and used Peter. He openly rebuked Jesus as though it was a thing to do. But Jesus didn't miss a beat. This is the part I love. But Jesus didn't miss a beat. He turned and looked at the disciples, and then he rebuked Peter. So Peter got it back in a matter of minutes. Don't let the devil trick you. Please don't let the devil trick you. You will get it back however you put it out there. Oh, yes, you will get it back however you put it out there. That's for you drama queens and drama kings out there that like to cause trouble. You will get it back however you put it out there. Jesus is not finished. He's not finished. He then says, "Get behind me, Satan." At first, he was talking to Peter. Follow me. At first, he was talking to Peter. When he rebuked him, he was talking to Peter. But when he said, "Get behind me, Satan," he was no longer talking to Peter. Instead, he was addressing that demonic spirit that was operating in their midst. So here's what I want you to do. The next time the devil shows up with his demonic timing, trying to get something started, I want you to not even address the person. Number one, I want you to not even address the person, because at some point it's not even about them. The same way at some point it wasn't even about Peter, and Jesus had to turn and rebuke that spirit that was in operation. I want you to not even address the person, because at some point it's not even about them. Number two, instead, I want you to boldly address that spirit. Like your middle name is Jesus. I want you to do it like your middle name is Jesus. And say what Jesus said in the scriptures. Get behind me, Satan. Devil shows up in the midst of the good you're trying to do. Anytime the devil shows up in the midst of the good you're trying to do, I want you to say, "Get behind me, Satan." I want you to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Make that your natural response. See it for what it is. It's time you just see it for what it is and make that your natural response. Get behind me, Satan. And number four, as the scriptures say, be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1, New King James Version. And I think that would be a great way to conclude tonight's message. Let's all be imitators of God, imitators of Jesus. And I want you to do this little exercise with me. On the count of three, everybody under the sound of my voice, and this is how we're going to conclude tonight's message. Everybody under the sound of my voice, on the count of three, I want you to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Get ready. One, two, three. Get behind me, Satan. In the name of Jesus, amen. Loose everybody you have oppressed in sin. Loose them right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, give them a heart for Jesus, a heart, a desire to be saved, to renounce the past and parts of their present. Somebody wants to be saved on tonight, Father. Minister to them via your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. As I said, this concludes tonight's message. If you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text me at 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690. Or email prolificfire@gmail.com. Or just go ahead and email prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone lines right now, via Blog Talk Radio, and you have a specific prayer request that's unrelated, hear me, it's unrelated to what the word of the Lord was about on tonight, what the Lord delivered his word about on tonight, then I need you to press 1 on your phone. Press 1 on your phone right now, and here's the phone rules for tonight. Get your prayer request in your head and press 1 on your phone, as I said. Press 1 on your phone. Do it now. I will call out your area code so that you know I'm about to put you on the air. But don't worry, I'm just going to call out your area code, nothing more. But wait until you hear me say hello and properly greet you before you start talking. That way, not only will God hear your prayer request, but I will hear it too and proceed accordingly. I'm going to give you some extra minutes. I'm going to give the announcements, and then I'm going to come to the phone line. Now the announcements. If you feel led to sow into this ministry, if you need this ministry's PayPal info or Cash App info, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire. Or you can use Cash App. It's a dollar symbol and the ministry's name, Prolific Fire. The P in Prolific is capital. The F in Fire is capital. Written all together. And if you see a store with some fire coming out of it, you have the right Cash App. That is Prolific Fire's official logo. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacey, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. You can DM me, inbox me on either one of those if you desire to. People do so all the time, and it's fine. Also, check out ProlificFire.com. You can do everything I just named right there on the website. Also, if you would like to sponsor a child, that is a great way that you can do it. I'm a child ambassador for World Vision. Also, I'm a child sponsor with World Vision. I've been sponsoring different children. I feel like I need to specify that, because last time I heard myself say that, I'm like, I don't want them to think I sponsored the same children for 23 years. No, I've sponsored altogether a total of 17 children over 23 years, over a 23-year period. Right now, I'm sponsoring 8 children. That one sponsorship lasted that long. No. The time varies. It depends on the situation and the child. So if you're interested in being a World Vision sponsor, you can go right there to the website, prolificfire.com. I made it easy for you. Just click where it says sponsor child, and it'll give you the information and how to do that. But if you don't want to do it on the website, you can call me at the number I just gave, 865-408-8690. And if you don't get your prayer request in on tonight for whatever reason, or if you don't reach out to me privately, your next opportunity will be on Friday with Prophetess Pate. Join us for Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate for prayer and encouragement. The Lord is always there with us, and you need to be too. Even if you get your prayer request in on tonight, you still need to be in the atmosphere, because you receive even greater in that type of atmosphere. So join Prophetess Pate and myself Friday night for Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate. It's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, Friday night. Get your prayer request in, or just simply call to be in the atmosphere. 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken in too, so call in. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire Monday night, same time, same place, when Prophetess Pate will be ministering, however the Lord leads her to do so. And I'm sure you don't want to miss it. I know I'm excited about it. So join us back. It'll be 10 Eastern, 9 Central, 7 Pacific. With all of that being said, to God be the glory. I'm coming to the phone lines. So if you have a prayer request, get ready.
Well, it looks like everybody's heart is clear for tonight, and not in need of prayer. But if something changes, I just gave you all my information. You can reach out to me privately or join us. With that being said, thank you again, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. Everybody be blessed. Good night. I'm out.